Hello, hello. I've got a very special guest with me today on Wear the Dress or whatever alternative you like, formerly Tits Up to Breast Cancer. I'm Leah, I'm the host of this podcast. And today I've got Samantha Taroney, my good friend and colleague with me. Hello, Sam.
Hello, Leah. This is just very exciting for me.
We need to get out more, Sam.
I do need to get out more. That's
I'm
very
more
true.
excited about this. But yeah, so I've known Sam a number of years now. I don't know how many, Sam? 12, 10, 12 since
Lot,
the
yeah,
early
something
Enneagram
like that.
days.
It's
Yeah,
grown.
yeah. And in the last few years, maybe last since COVID, we've done more work together, collaborating.
Yes.
Client, my clients have got to know you, I've got to know some of your people, and
For sure. Have you ever
we
met
did
in
a
real life, Leah?
We even met in real life. How is that in this day and age? We've met in real life. This friendship is real.
Yeah.
It
Now
can be
you're an
real, not in
actual
real life, but
person. Yeah.
yeah, that was an adventure, wasn't it? But yeah, so Sam, that's my brief introduction of you. I'm not going to say on my end what you do. I'm going to ask you to tell me a little bit about yourself, the wonderful Soul Shed, your book, which is about to reach its 2-year anniversary of publication. So tell us, you shed
Well, okay. So, I'm really happy by just a beautiful coincidence that it's just about the 2-year anniversary of Take It to the Trees. That was a book that I wrote that has meant a lot to me and has continued to kind of resource me and guide me on my adventures. And I can say that my overall project is the Soul Shed. And it's really set up as a project to help people join the dots between their sense of place, their sense of location in the world, their creative imagination, and their intuitive creativity. And the book, I would say, really feeds in particularly into that exploring sense of place, but particularly via connection with the trees that you find around you in your square mile.
Yeah, and that's the lovely thing about some of your work, isn't it, Sam, that you don't actually have to go anywhere, like
No.
to a forest. I mean, that's great if you can, but it's literally like, I've done a workshop with you before, and it's the tree in my back garden, the tree that was there when my cancer diagnosis came, and I would sit under with my pet rat every day. And do you know what? It's
Absolutely.
literally the trees around us, even outside the boring office window, that tree. Do you know what I mean? It's, yeah, I
Yeah.
think people often think, oh, in order to go and do something in nature or do some grounding in nature, that you have to go to a location. It becomes this big event, but it doesn't have to be, does it?
No,
It's
it doesn't.
literally outside of your window.
Exactly that. It's really getting a sense of the contact and connection that we've got with these amazing other kind of ways of doing life, these beings that are trees. And actually, the urban trees are doing incredible work on our behalves by, cleaning the air in the cities, offering green spaces to people who are dealing with, the stresses and strains of urban life. So I'd say actually exploring the urban trees is a huge part of the project. And we've got people involved from places like Los Angeles, Atlanta in Georgia, because doing that connecting is almost more important because of, living in an urban landscape.
Absolutely. Yeah. So for you, Sam, how do you use the concepts in your book and connection to trees to ground yourself in areas that you might struggle or get a bit ungrounded? How do you
Yeah.
use it?
Yeah, that's a really good one. So I was thinking about this idea of grounding and what it means to me. And really, it's about that deeper sense of really knowing that we are beings of the earth for first and foremost. You know, we are, we often forget that, I think, and think we have this sort of special status via our humanness. But we're organisms, and we regulate as organisms, as do all organisms. You know, we have ways that we keep our sort of balance and homeostasis. And for me, the idea of grounding is very connected with knowing that in my body, knowing that in my heart, and knowing that in my mind. And the mind part is quite important because it's easy, I think, for humans to get out of right relationship with the earth. And being right-sized as a human is quite an important question, I think, for us in our times. You know, we can get very puffed up with self-importance and image and all this kind of thing. Or we can collapse into sort of shame and inadequacy. You know, neither of these things are kind of, I think, what we're intended to be doing on this planet. We're intended, I believe, to be its good custodians and to leave it, you know, to do as little harm to it as possible. And, you know, ideally to be working with it, to help it thrive, as well as being kind of, you know, having the interest in our own thriving.
Absolutely. So like a collective working together for this generation, future generations, to repair any of the past as well. And I think we often get very puffed up as humans, don't we? And I put myself in that, you know, as a human, with our own projects, this next best thing, and what we're doing, it seems so important. And actually, it was part of a bigger whole.
Yes,
that is serving each other. But we do get very, I think, very, this is me and I'm doing this project and this, and you know how I go into that, and it's all meaningless at the end of the day. Well, not meaningless, but it's important. But actually, the profundity is in this connection.
Yeah,
all the rest is like background noise, as I say. It doesn't mean it's not important stuff we're doing, but the profundity is in this connection. And you said, like, the trees are cleaning the air for us. Where would we be if there weren't?
Well, literally, they're supplying the oxygen that we're breathing.
Absolutely. Imagine the extra strain on the NHS. Because everybody, people going in with, like, more lung problems. But do you know what I mean? They're doing a job that we can't do.
Yes.
That puts us in our size, doesn't it? We can't do that. Yeah. We need those trees.
Yes. And yet,
we need to respect them for what they're doing to keep us alive.
Yeah. And so often that's doesn't seem to really be on the radar. And also, I think there's a question about pacing. I mean, I think sometimes we don't take much notice of the trees because they're living on a completely different timeline to us. And it seems to me that humans are getting faster and faster in our antics and thrashing about. And yet the trees are just, you know, maintaining this much slower timeline. And I think that it's my belief that the trees are actually trying to support and help us humans, are trying to help us regulate, are trying to help us slow down and connect with them. I think they're offering their energetic field to us all the time. And of course, if we're running around, that might not be even available to us to connect into, but there's possibilities when we do, is my kind of belief. And that's the kind of foundational piece in the book.
And it sounds like, that's the way you ground yourself into presence as well. Slowing down, as our friend Betsy says, slowing down to the speed of listening, but slowing down to the speed of listening of the trees.
Yes.
So that will like regulate the head space, the heart space, the gut or body space. It, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think, I mean, it sounds theoretical, but actually it's practical because, you know, you don't do that via your head, you do that via your body. You know, you take your little legs outside and spend some time actually with a tree.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So I think it's a very creative use of a human capacity for relationship, and connection. But on the very, very practical level, it is about proximity. It is about, you know, spending time in proximity to a tree, actually giving it attention, because, you know, we all know that what we pay attention to is very, very important. You know, the what we surround ourselves with, what we fill our lives with is going to influences in profound ways. And it seems to me that being influenced by trees is a fairly healthy use of that capacity to form connections.
Absolutely. And when you think about it, in childhood, we did it quite naturally, a lot of us. We went out and played near the trees and hopefully didn't harm them. I know, you know, but we did. We'd go chasing around the trees, climb a tree, sit under the trees with our friends. I remember sit under with an like drawing under a tree. Do you know what it was quite, and it was a safe thing to do even
Okay.
outside of your own garden back in our day, I think, you know, safe enough. But we did quite naturally. We weren't staring at phones. Well, there weren't phones, were they? But like, well, there were phones you could talk on, but not mobile phones.
They
And
were inside, yeah.
inside, you had to go in and answer the phone, and you didn't, you know, could unplug it as well. That was good, you know. But we naturally, in our youth, would go and play outside near the trees. I think for me in my childhood, trees were quite a big thing, playing hide and seek. I mean, do you know what I mean? They were quite figural in the day to day. They were noticed, and it was like, oh, meet you by the tree. It's like a
Yes.
line. Do you know
Did you,
what I mean?
was there one, was there a special one in your neighborhood that was like the meeting point?
Well, I had about four or five neighborhoods from birth until early 20s, well, 20 when I left home. So, but yeah. There's one particular. We had a triangle. I think I might have told you about this before. Little triangle of green outside the front of our little sort of cul-de-sac, and this big tree with like a city bit in the middle of the tree that I know nobody. I'm doing my hands and nobody can see it, you know. But we're sort of sitting there. But I meet you on triangle by the tree,
Yes.
and that's where I used to be quite like, oh, I'm going to do a show. Even back then, I was like organizing the local kids when I was 10 to do a show and all the parts, and I'd give them the parts in the script on
Yeah.
triangle by the tree. And so, do you know what I mean? It was just there, and nobody hurt tree.
No.
We respected tree. There was nobody sort of pulling tree apart and kicking tree, and it was just there. And if you look out, each person in that cul-de-sac looked out their kitchen window, the front window, I think it was, for most people, that could see tree on
Yes.
triangle, and it was just, that was life.
Yes. Like a
Do you know what I
silent
mean?
witness to what you were doing, it but
Yeah.
actually a part of it, because
Yeah.
it had a
Yeah.
meaning in it. Yeah.
Even I was doing things which we shouldn't have done, mom shouldn't see. Do you know what I mean? Tree was witnessing. Imagine it like tapping on the door when we'd gone to bed. Hey, Eileen, your daughter's been up to this. But yeah, but so I was just saying, but it's very natural as grounding as kids, but we lose that as we get older, don't we? And you know, it's sad. It's sad, really. So Sam, when you sort of following up a bit on that, how you ground yourself,
Yes.
do you do it spontaneously? Like, okay, you're just out and about, you think I need to stop and go to a tree, or do you like think, right, I'm feeling ungrounded today, I'm gonna go that
Yes.
tree down the road or in the garden, or which way, or
Yeah.
both? How do you do
Yes.
it?
So I think they've become really important in my life. And regularly spending time with trees is part of how I stay well, really. It's a big part of my well-being. Sometimes it'll be really conscious, and particularly if I've got something ahead of me that I'm maybe anxious about or preparing for, I'll go and do a breathing meditation with a tree. That's a really good way of connecting. Actually, putting your spine against the trunk of a tree. It's almost like, you know, the trunk of the tree is the tree's equivalent to our spine, because we've got some things in common. You know, we're both vertical. We're both on this kind of vertical axis. We've both got kind of limbs that can kind of outwards. So there's these kind of possibilities for mirroring, actually. So to put my spine against a tree and then to breathe and imagine my in-breath connecting with the roots of the tree and pulling up through my spine into my body. And then I'll often do, and this might be helpful because your listeners might want to try this.
Yeah, tell us. Yeah.
So this breath is a four-part breath, and it's often used in different settings, you know. It's called box breath or square breath. Okay. And it's the breath when you have four parts to the breath and they have equal sections.
Yeah.
So perhaps you breathe in for a count, and maybe it's four. You hold the breath at the top for four. You let the breath fall out for four. And then you hold at the bottom at what you can call void retention, where the breath is empty at the bottom. And then obviously it goes around in this, well, it's a square. It's a square. And so if I connect with the tree and I imagine my real relationship with the tree, I'll breathe in and the breath will be coming up the spine and the trunk. I'll hold at the top and imagine my energy kind of expanding outwards like the canopy of a tree. And then I'll imagine, as my out-breath, I'll imagine the leaves falling from the tree. Right. So there's a kind of a letting go at that point.
Yeah.
And then at the bottom of the breath, it's like a real returning to the earth. And when you use the word grounding in the first question, grounding. I think that that's the point where I really feel that connection with gravity, the connection that I'm pulled downwards into the earth, and it's a resource. You know, there's a nourishment to be had from going through that cycle and returning to the earth. And I'm saying this, and I'm aware that, you know, it might, I don't know how it sounds, but trying it and doing it is the experiment.
I'm
interested to hear if any of your listeners give it a try, how they find it.
Let us know how they found it. And what it sounds like is the state you're in before you go and put your spine against the tree and do the breathing is very different from the state you're in physically, mentally, emotionally at the end of it. It sounds like, as you were sort of saying it, I'm imagining, you know what I'm like for embodiment, I'm imagining your feet feel more connected to the ground, like you can feel them in it.
Yes.
Like, do you know what I mean? And I'm imagining your posture's better by the end of it as well. You know what I'm like for posture? Because do you know what I mean? Because your posture, you know, I can see you as recording this, but we're going to convert it with voice. But I could see you as you're explaining it. We're lifting up.
Yes.
And as you talked, you know, your spine, and then you said, and then the leaves, and you actually completely changed your posture as you described it to me. So I can imagine even more so when you're doing that with the tree. And you were saying breathing, and we've just been saying before that trees provide the oxygen. And so it's like this, hey, come here, Sam, I've got some oxygen. I can see you holding your breath because you're stressing out and spinning in your head. Come here, because I provide you with some oxygen. Just lean against me. Let me breathe with and for you. Do you know what I mean?
Yes,
that's how I'm sort of imagining it, sort of personifying the tree. But they provide us the oxygen that you use to do the box breathing. And isn't that just lovely? It's just,
The whole mirroring of it. It's so beautiful. And the trees are so generous in that regard, in that resourcing that they offer us all the time. They're just there to tap into in that way. And it's also my belief that they're absorbing a hell of a lot of stress from the environment as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And witnessing
Yeah.
so much of our human nonsense, going past in their presence. And they've got this just kind of stoic witness to us going.
Stoic, but not hard.
Yeah.
Do you know what
No.
I mean? It's like it.
Yes.
Do you know they shed, they leaves fall. That's quite vulnerable. They're getting naked.
Yes.
Do you know what I
Yes.
mean? And it's, oh, there's just so many other conversations we can have, but I'm going to ask you the next question because all sorts, my mind
Yeah.
works, it's coming to my mind, and I'm like this, and it's reminding me of an old one of my counselling diplomas I did, which was a really creative one at a place called Kairos, which is a great name, back in my early 20s. And we each had to write a meditation on the trouble tree to then lead our clients through. I've still got it. I'll have to record it, but not with
Wow.
meditative voice,
Oh, I'd
just
love
with
to hear.
voice. But yeah, so it's just bringing so many connections. And one of the workshops I did there back then, we went out into the woods
Yes.
and was hanging things on trees as offerings. It was all, oh, it was a great counselling diploma, that, because it was
It's
just really
really rich.
creative. And
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure I learned some theory, but it was, oh, they don't have it like that in this day. But it's just bringing so much to me what you're saying. But anyway, next question is, when did you first discover these connections with trees and that it actually worked for you? When? What was it, a defining moment or gradual? What happened?
So interesting. My journey was a really was a funny old one because I had a book by a woman called Charlene Hildego, and it was called The Healing Power of Trees, and it had a Celtic tree calendar in it. And I thought, oh, a tree calendar, how interesting. And just in almost an intuitive sort of impulsive kind of thing, this is in, I think, 2019. I set up a Facebook group and asked some of my friends if they'd like to walk a tree calendar with me, and we'd follow the pattern of this book. And we did, and it was beautiful. It was a wonderful, rich year, and we focused on a tree with each lunar cycle. And people really seemed to enjoy it. And this is in 2019, so this is pre-COVID. This
Right,
is
yeah, cool, of course, yeah.
this is going back to a different sort of time, actually. Because I think so much has changed since then.
It has, yeah.
And then I realized that my roots aren't Celtic or Druid. My roots are my kind of the spiritual kind of wisdom traditions I'm connected with are Enneagram and also the yogic tradition with the chakras and that sort of sense of the body. And I decided I actually wanted to reflect that the following year and offer my own tree calendar. And what started to become clear to me was that I had a different experience of different trees. I'd got that from the work with Charlene's book. But actually, the Enneagram archetypes were really offering me something in terms of the pattern recognition I was getting around
Right, yeah.
trees. So, for example, I'd spend time with a silver birch tree, which to tell you just a little bit about the silver birch tree, it's a real pioneer species. It grows really fast. It grows where other trees don't really want to grow. It'll arrive on kind of disrupted landscape. It'll be one of the first trees to thrive, and then other trees will follow.
Oh, it's a leader tree, is it?
It's a leader tree, but it's also a really fast, responsive tree.
That's it, right?
So for me, that became my Enneagram 7 tree.
Right, I was just wondering. I was thinking, is that, I was thinking 8, 7, but then when you said go to places where it doesn't, other people won't, I thought, oh, that's a bit far, you know, go to the wasteland without fear. But yeah, but the cemeteries, come on then, guys, we're going over here.
Over
Come on,
here.
we're
Follow
gonna,
me. Let's have an adventure here.
yeah, let's party on this wasteland.
And they don't grow solitary. They are surrounded by other silver birch. So they're very much, they're very much in the thick of the action. And the other thing that for me is very Seven about a silver birch tree, if you've ever seen one at twilight, it's almost like they are lightning rods coming down from, connecting earth and sky. And for me, the energy and the connections that sevens make are like
Yeah,
these kind of lightning
like the
rods.
lightning. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and if anyone doesn't know the Enneagram, Sam and I, we can do a follow up on that, can't we? We're connecting, if you're willing, connecting the trees to the types. The Enneagram, it's just not just, but it's a system, a lovely system, and then I see as like a doorway to have a conversation around where you fixate the most. And we all have a type, we have the presence of all types in us, but we tend to sort of fixate in certain areas, don't we, Sam? And sevens, how would you describe a seven, Sam, in a couple of sentences for the listeners?
Oh, wow. So sevens can be this absolute inspiration and energizer and mover and shaker and disruptor. They've got all this
All at
energy
once, yeah.
all
You
the time.
create and destroy in a good way, you know. Like, yeah, I'm often funny. I mean,
Oh
we can all
yeah.
be funny, but the funny, but
and
like you said,
people
make
that
links, yeah.
absolutely mate links and are really infectious, energetically to be around, often lift the whole vibration of a
Yeah.
situation,
Yeah,
and
yeah.
can struggle with stopping, actually.
Stopping,
So
not slowing down. The very thing you were saying is like earlier is, you know, the all
and
of us need to slow down, but
not
yeah.
being completely fully switched on and entertaining,
Don't have to lighten everything. It's like, because sevens often feel they've got to keep the mood up. They're scared of the anxiety they're feeling, the running from the anxiety and to the next thing, to the next thing, to the next thing. I think we all have patterns of how we do seven in our own types. Do you know what I mean? Like to the next thing, to the next thing. But seven is particularly quick, isn't it? A type of going to the next thing. And so the silver birch is the one you identify with seven when it's in its healthy
Yes,
levels.
absolutely.
Yeah.
I tend to really see the holy ideas and
Yeah.
the virtues of the types in the
Yeah, I
trees.
like that. Yeah.
And I'd say that a couple of things about connecting with the silver birch. I'd say it's a really easy tree to connect with if you're thinking of doing this, for the first time. Partly because they're very recognizable. You see that there those indes those very recognizable markings of a white and a white trunk with black markings. Also, they're kind of quite small and slender, so you can wrap your arms around if you want to get
Right.
up close with a silver birch tree. They're quite, they're small. They're quite human sized. Well, I mean, they're bigger, but you know what I mean,
Yeah.
comparatively. And also this sense of state change I was trying to describe. It's difficult to spend time around silver birch tree and just not feel uplifted by their amazing kind of witness to growth and life and,
They sound sparkly. The way you're describing them sounds sparkly. And the picture I have of silver birch in my head, it has that effervescent sort of sparkle to it. So where an Enneagram 7 brings joy to people is that sounds like it's a tree that you can go to if you're needing an injection of joy.
And
Do you know
also,
what I
you
mean?
might have noticed on some of the trunks of the silver birches where they've shed old branches because they grow so fast and they lose some of their lower branches, they have these incredible eye shapes.
Not
Where
seen
the
that.
branches got. So if you're someone who enjoys seeing faces in trees, silver birches are just brilliant.
Got lots
for
of faces.
lots of
Right.
faces.
Oh, that's lovely. And you've already started answering my next question a bit, Sam, but if you can expand on it, how can people start to incorporate these things into
Yes.
their life and well-being journey? What's some simple ways
Yes.
that people can, if they want to, get a start with this?
Yeah. I would say a lovely practice is to take a walk around your square mile. It might be a walk around the block, it might be a walk down a lane. I mean, you'll know, depending on the kind of location you live in, where this could work. But to take a walk, and it doesn't need to be a long walk, it just could be a 10-minute walk. But to do that regularly and take in the trees that you have access to, and just to watch them seasonally do their thing. There are changes you'll notice. You'll also get a sense of the other life forms that live in a tree. I mean, actually, where I am now on the Isle of Wight, I'm looking out of the window at a tree that is just almost at the edge of the sea, and I can see a blackbird sitting in that tree. And it's these kind of things that, if you get into a habit of paying attention to those trees around you, you'll get to know, how that tree corresponds with its environment, what other forms of nature it's in correspondence with, and you'll probably get a sense of familiarity with it that builds, and a sense of it becoming a part of the fabric of your day and something perhaps you're in a bit of relationship with.
Right, yeah, and it's sort of getting, you say, getting to know other life forms within the tree. I was thinking, a squirrel, a right feisty little thing, you know, it wanted some of the fat balls of the pigeons, and oh, it was staying, but
Yes.
I kind of got to know that squirrel in my back garden tree, or you know, the pigeons that come, or this little blue tit, and there's a little robin. I know we've spoken lots about robins before, and
Yes.
they kind of, they become like a bit of friends and family, really, because you get to know them. I'm like, oh, where's the robin? Oh, you kind of know when one of the animals have died because they don't come anymore. And it's, oh, my robin. Do you know what I mean? But it, and it's all part, but the tree is like the container for all of these gorgeous little creatures. And it's just
Absolutely.
beautiful. When the cat comes, the birds can, you know, see a local cat, the birds can scoot up the squirrel can scoot
Yes.
up the tree, the birds can go in the tree to keep away from, I mean, cats are going to do their thing, but the little buggers, aren't they, with animals. But you know, it's safety
Yes.
for
Yes.
some animals. It's where they just chill. Do you know what I mean? There's lots of, it's their home, and it's just, you know, that's how I see it. I just love to get to know the other things, then watching the cycle of my garden tree. Do you know?
Yes.
And then when it gets its buds, and I think we identified it when you helped me to as a sycamore, didn't you, Sam? My garden
So,
tree. It gets
yes.
its little buds, and then you know, the leaves are shedding now all over my garden, all over like this blanket. Do I just let them frost over and do it in the spring? I don't know. I don't know.
The other thing, Leah, the other thing that I'd say about, how people might want to co incorporate this into their life is that I believe that there are questions that, we have these human questions that are quite often things that we might get hung up on or obsessed with or worried about. And sometimes I would say the different trees can help us with some of these questions. So that was something that really kind of came to me when I was doing this, the research for the book. And spending time with different trees and recognizing the patterns and the Enneagram archetypes in the trees. You could say, well, okay, but where does that go? And I would say what it can offer, and it's really worth experimenting with, is if a tree does have a different kind of signature, if you like, energetically, a different sort of, it offers a different experience to be around it. And if you sort of slow down long enough and visit it enough times to start to kind of feel that difference, then it's an opportunity to resource to that signature. So if I'm looking for, I'll give another example, compassion, understanding, and a kind of, I don't know, an emotional attunement, I spend time with a willow tree. And that for me is Enneagram point four.
I was going to say it bends, but it doesn't break. It's not afraid to totally be tossed about by the emotion of the wind, but it doesn't break. And a healthy four allows that without the withdrawing and breaking sort of, you know, it. Oh, I love willows.
And something about being under its canopy as well. There's a real possibility to take a step back from life and be in a completely different space.
Like a healthy withdrawal,
healthy
under
withdrawal.
The beauty of the canopy of that's lovely. And I was just thinking, Sam, some people might be listening thinking, oh well, that's all well and good, but I've got six kids and I can't get out. But this is something you can bring your children into. You can, do you know what I mean? It's like make a little, draw a little worksheet. Let's go and spot trees, kids. So if a kid's feeling like not so great, it's like, let's go find a tree that makes you feel cuddled today. Let's find a tree that makes you feel happy today. Do you know what I mean? You can actually, you know, well, people don't have as many as six kids, but some people do, but you can actually get your little buggy out, get your other kid or whatever, and you can actually take them on a square mile walk, because it's just a, it's just within your square mile, and they can learn the trees. You can even buy them a little kid's book of trees and you go tree spotting and you sit on the tree. Do you know what I mean? So this is a, this isn't something that only people without kids or other things, you know, the responsibilities can do. This is something that you can take people. And if you're a carer and you care for someone who's not able-bodied, you can go in the wheelchair for, you know, a bit of, for, do you know what I mean? This is inclusive. This is inclusive. I know there'll always be some who are not able to, and I don't want to sort of discriminate, but this isn't just for people without children or whatever. You can make a game out of it with your kids that actually teaches them how to ground when they're feeling down or feeling whatever, anxious or whatever they're feeling, you know. And
absolutely.
And so it sounds like what you're saying, Sam, is people, if you just start taking a walk around your block and being observant of the trees, get your head out of your phone, leave your phone at home, or if you don't feel safe leaving it at home, put it in your bag and just go see what trees you can see, and then stop by one that draws you.
Yes, I think that's the thing. It's a kind of an invitation to get into connection and relationship. And I mean, talking about offering kind of activity spaces for little people and you know, curious, playful adults alike, I could do a little plug for the book here and say that in the book, each tree has a grid with different kind of connecting points with the tree. So there may be a photograph or a painting or a poem or a quote from a poem or a quote where that tree's been spoken about by someone famous, as well as perhaps connecting points of things to maybe look out for in terms of the Enneagram signature of the tree. But it's very much a handbook. So for every tree, there's also a grid for the person who's reading the book to add their own little, perhaps a little doodle of the tree. They might want to write a little poem of their own about a tree. They might want to journal a bit about their experience with the tree. So it's a very much an interactive book, and an opportunity to explore, rather than offering something that is trying to be definitive. It's an invitation into inquiry, which enables you to get you to know yourself a little bit better, as well as getting you outside and connecting with the tree.
That's great. So this book really needs to be in every sort of, well, at least primary school classroom. I was thinking secondary school, but I can imagine them all running riot. But like, or any school or anywhere, this could be a good book in care homes, in hospitals, when patients are able to get out with the nursing staff or the helpers. I mean, sounds a wonderful resource. So where can people buy this book, and where can they find you, Sam? I don't mean literally come knocking on your door, because that could go. But like, where can people buy this book, and where can they reach out for things that you offer?
Brilliant. First I can say that the book is Take It to the Trees by Samantha Taroni. And I'm sure we can maybe put it in the notes of the podcast. Yeah. And it's on Amazon, amazon.co.uk, but also amazon.com, and lots of actually the different Amazons worldwide. The Soul Shed is my website, and there are regular offerings in deep mapping, which is the process that I offer. Locally, I offer creativity walks. And their invitations.
Tell them where locally is, if so people in the area they're able to do in person.
Locally is in Alton in Hampshire, which is kind of Jane Austen country, Gilbert White country, beautiful part of England. But I also do a lot of online events too, Leah. And actually, the Soul Shed community is international. There are people who come to Soul Shed events from New Zealand, even. It's really a place for anyone who wants to explore this kind of creative connection with themselves. So I can tell you that on Facebook, there is a Soul Shed page, also a Take It to the Trees page. And on Instagram, there's a Soul Shed page and a Deep Mapping Journeys page. So I'll give you the details for all of those. I would love to welcome your folk along to become part of anything that they would like to.
Yeah, wonderful, wonderful. So we'll close there for today, Sam, because I'm aware people have attention spans. Just biologically and scientifically, that they're not very long, regardless of who we are. And there's so much I want to ask you and say, and but you know, we'll have some follow-ups.
Absolutely.
Shall we do a
voucher for your listeners if they would like to come to a social event?
If you're willing.
I'd love to do that.
And so we need to tell them where I would put that. I can put it on the Podbean. I can put it. I can actually put it on my Physis Instagram as well. If they listen to if they click onto the podcast, they can get a voucher. Is it a voucher off? So what is it?
Yes, we'll do a voucher.
It's a voucher. What is this voucher?
we'll do a voucher, and we'll talk about what the voucher is, but it will give a generous discount to your listeners.
But yes, that's a lovely gift to the world, Sam. Thank you for that. So thank you for being on, Sam. I'll stop the recording now, and do a quick goodbye to you. off the recording, and then I'll convert it to MP3 and get it up hopefully today. And
Wonderful.
but thank you so much
Absolute
for
pleasure.
connecting us all to the trees and to your work. So recording. So bye for now, everyone. I forgot to say bye to them. I'll speak to you all.